Fancy a career in banking? Or do you think that science may offer a more fulfilling way to run the universe? A few words on that from our new chief scientist. You're on ABC Radio National. Hello again. I'm Robin Williams. The Science Show number 1672, with a deep examination of the brains of taxi drivers, a new slant on your 24-hour cycle, your circadian rhythm, and what could be a sensational new food, almost beyond belief, I'd say. First stop, the West, Fremantle, where the Carnegie Corporation launched its new wave energy plant last Monday. The technology promises to provide a huge proportion of our needs in the most unobtrusive fashion. Let's join oceanographer Tim Sawyer. Now, let's just describe the devices, because I always thought with wave power you had something on the surface, like duckies bobbing up and down. What you've got are buoys underwater. Could you describe them?
Essentially, it's a buoy that's about 1 to 2 metres underwater, which is then attached via a flexible tether to a pump, a positive displacement pump, essentially like an inverted bike pump, really. As the buoy moves around with the inertia of the wave, so with the water particles, it follows that elliptical motion. On the upstroke, as the buoy is going up, it pulls the flexible tether, drives the pump, and pressurises seawater to shore for subsequent power generation and or reverse osmosis.
And do you have some actual buoys in the water here off Fremantle?
There's two at the moment, just marked by the special markers. They're instrumented up to measure pressure and flow, and then that's compared against the wave rider buoy, which is also in our lease area, so we can work out how much energy we're extracting, improve the design. The present site is, it's only 8 metres, so it's very shallow. We get a 3.5 metre swell, which creates a lot of energy in that environment. It's not ideal for us, but it's good for survivability as well.
And to demonstrate, now, would there be anything above the water that you look at when they're all installed?
On the devices themselves, there'll be nothing above the water, but as far as maritime safety is concerned, then the lease area will no doubt be marked by lighting and marks so people know it's there and that it's a potential hazard.
Now, what about the power itself from the waves? Obviously, the Southern Hemisphere has got a special endowment because you've got nothing in the way of great big blocks of land impeding the southern current. So off WA, you'll have a huge amount, won't you?
There's a large amount. A lot of the storms come through the Southern Ocean from the southwest into WA, hitting the coast. Where we're standing now in Fremantle, it's obviously protected by Rottnest Island. So people have an impression that this is the wave energy, whereas if you could just go the other side of Rottnest Island, it's quite a different proposition. Rottnest Island, I think, is very rarely recorded below 1 metre, even on the calmest of days when it looks like there's no swell.
1 metre bobbing up, and that's good for you, is it?
Well, that's where we generate from, 1 to 4 metres. And that's significant wave height as well, which is the top third of the highest waves.
Do you have sufficient power around the coast of Australia?
In terms of wave energy, there's a large resource. It's 171,000 megawatts is the theoretical wave energy. That is all the way around the coast, southern coastline of Australia. Of that, we believe 10% is economically and practically accessible. So we're talking around 17,000 megawatts or 17 gigawatts.
What about the project demonstration in Albany? What's there?
Albany's got a fantastic resource. It's a very open, exposed location. It's always above 1 metre. It's never gone below. It's frequently above 2, 3, 4 metres. So it's large wave energy.
100% generation, in other words?
100% availability of resource. And then from that, we'll extract a proportion. And then of that proportion, we'll lose a certain amount of energy efficiency. But we should be generating 9 and 100% of the time.
OK, so project. If you've got this sort of system, the buoys, around Australia installed, what percentage could you provide of our needs, our energy needs in the future?
Of the current energy consumption in Australia, we estimate 35% is practically and economically extractable now. And I say that because there are certain sites around Australia which just aren't accessible. There's no towns nearby, there's no grid infrastructure. So if we just take into account where the existing grid is around WA, along the south coast, it's where we can practically deploy, get the power back to shore with minimum environmental impact as well. So around 35%.
So a third of our needs. Now, that's a pretty impressive claim. Going back to the technology, what you're doing essentially is producing high-pressure water which comes ashore from your buoys, turns a turbine, may actually get some sort of desalination going as well, and it's as simple as that.
That's the idea. The idea was to keep everything in the water simple. No electronics, no external moving parts, rotating blades or anything similar. Keep it with standard materials and then bring seawater to shore. So we've got no lubricants. Seawater is the lubricant. Seawater is also the energy fluid, if you like, that we're using to drive the power.
And once it's come aboard, turn the turbine, it's out to sea again.
That's right. Same seawater is put straight back out to sea. Nothing's added to it. Nothing's taken away. And in fact, we're also working on a closed loop system as well.
So there are all those buoys. You've got the pilot plant more or less set up. When's it going to happen?
We will have the first full-scale test device off of Rottnest and or Garden Island next year. That's what we're working on now. And then following on from that very quickly, by 2011, we'll be generating power in our first 5-megawatt demonstration plant.
And the interest from the politicians?
It's been very high and increasing constantly. We have a lot of support in terms of the facility we've built down at Fremantle, a lot of support from the Albany City Council in terms of the land lease. DPI obviously have granted our licence area as well, so we can have a look at the resource. So it looks promising, and I think Australia is also getting more encouraged by renewables, deploying more as we speak.
And those buoys themselves, as they're lying there, can they last for a long time?
We're working on 20 to 30 years lifetime. One of the issues is storm survivability. And what we're looking to do is make sure that they cope themselves. They need no human interaction. Operation maintenance is a big issue for us, and making them survive those types of storms, those seas that we might see.
And the cost of manufacture, is it fairly straightforward?
It is at the moment. They'll be high to start with as a first demonstrator, but as we increase the amount that we're producing, as we deploy more projects, those costs will come down, and we expect them to be cost competitive with wind, is the hope.
Wind?
Current offshore sort of low penetration wind is where we're aiming for, so that sort of price to make them competitive around the world.
And what about similar sorts of technology elsewhere? Anything like it in other parts of the world?
There are a number of wave energy devices under development. The vast majority are on the surface. Of those, most of them are generating electricity at sea, which is one way of doing it. Our take on it is that having electronics and rotating parts, that sort of stuff at sea in that environment, is a complication, is an added factor to consider for operation maintenance. So we keep it very simple below the surface, reduce our operation maintenance and reduce our overall cost.
Brilliant, thank you. Now, my introduce yourself, Robin Williams from the Science Show, and you're the federal member for Fremantle.
Yes, Melissa Park, yes.
Melissa Park. And you, sir, the mayor?
Peter Taliaferri, mayor of the city of Fremantle.
And you'd both know very well whether this has become a famous technology around Australia.
Well, I am at least, and I know that many of my colleagues are. In fact, I referred to this wave power technology in my first speech to the Federal Parliament in February this year. And this is about my sixth visit to the site. I've brought the Federal Labor Caucus Infrastructure Committee here to visit, and Penny Wong was just here a few weeks ago. And all of them have come away extremely impressed with the clean simplicity of the technology, with the minimal impact upon the marine environment and the negligible noise and visual impacts, and of course with the fantastic potential of this wave power project to provide zero emission baseload power.
35% of our needs, potentially. That sounds extraordinary.
Yeah, it is extraordinary, and you know, I'm certainly very happy to continue to provide support in any way I can for this project.
Well, given those things, one would have thought the Prime Minister and various other people in Parliament would think this then is a good reason for going for rather more adventuresome levels of commitment to reducing carbon. Is that likely?
Well, I think the government has indicated very strong interest and commitment to developing renewable energy sources, whether it's geothermal or solar or wind. And I think that now wave power definitely has to be figured into the mix.
Peter, are the local people here in Perth and in Fremantle behind this?
Oh, in Fremantle in particular, and as you can hear from the federal member, she's very, very supportive, used it in her maiden speech, and also our new senator used it in his maiden speech 2 weeks ago. Look, this technology is obviously cutting edge. 35% of our energy use across the country could be accommodated with this use up and down the coastline. And yeah, it's up to a major policy shift from government to encapsulate this or capture it.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
The Mayor of Fremantle, Peter Taliaferri, with Federal Member Melissa Park at the Carnegie Wave Power Facility opened this week. Before them you heard Tim Sawyer, oceanographer and site development manager. And there's a big spread on all that in this month's first Australian edition of Popular Science magazine.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.